tackling terrorism, piracy, and a humanitarian crisis are the three main reasons why the British government is hosting a London conference on Somalia that opens today, drawing together leaders from over 40 countries across the East African region and beyond. Despite a reputation as the world's most failed state, Britain's Foreign Secretary William Hague has said Somalia is facing a moment of opportunity, as political leaders there come together in recent days to try and end the two-decades-long conflict. Somalia was also one of the countries that Pope Benedict XVI spoke of in his address to diplomats last January, urging that the international community find a solution to the crisis. British Ambassador to the Holy See, Nigel Baker, told Philippa Hitchin what his government hopes to achieve through this conference and why the Vatican has also offered its support for this international event.
For 20 years, Somalia has been in a too difficult tray for too many countries. It's been that sort of classic faraway country of which we know nothing. But we realise that there's no such thing in the world anymore. Through piracy, through terrorism, through the appalling humanitarian situation created by famine, which itself is a symptom of the dreadful political instability of Somalia. These affect Britain and other countries as well. And the whole region has been struggling to manage with the fallout from a country where children have known nothing but guns for the last 20 years. So we felt that it was time that the international community came together and tried to put together a coherent strategy for tackling the many complex issues that Somalia has. Essentially, the conference being a catalyst for that sort of complex response to what is a complex problem. So the Prime Minister felt that, you know, now was the time to bring together 50 countries, organisations most engaged in the Somalia problem, and set a new roadmap for the future of Somalia, which means for the future of the region, and indeed for the future of the Somali people, who, of course, are the principal victims of what's been going on, and will hopefully be the principal beneficiaries.
Why at this particular time, though? There has been a little bit of progress, hasn't there, just recently?
Well, I think that progress, in large part, has been due to the catalyst of greater international attention. The situation, the dreadful famine situation, is marginally better. There are still 250,000 Somalis at risk of famine. But the military incursions we have seen have actually created a certain amount of space, particularly around Mogadishu, for local politicians to begin the incredibly long road of creating greater political and economic stability in the country. Yeah, I mean, just the last day or so, we've seen politicians in Mogadishu coming together and looking at how Somalia can end its sort of transitional political phase and look to something more solid in the future, a process which will engage Somali people. So I think we have seen a slight improvement in the political situation. Al-Shabaab, the fundamentalist organisation that has for far too long controlled large parts of Somalia, is on the back foot. And the international community coming together has decided enough is enough. There is an opportunity now. There is a moment where Somalia can move forward, but it can't do it on its own. And we need to help stimulate and push that. And that's what we're bringing together in London on Thursday.
Traditionally, though, the Somali people have been very resistant to foreign intervention, haven't they? How are you hoping this time it's going to be different?
No, I think that's quite right. And any solution has to be a solution ultimately owned by the Somalis themselves. It's why the Prime Minister David Cameron, over the last day or so, has been talking to members of the Somali diaspora community in Britain, and indeed to other Somali leaders who are coming from right across the region. This isn't going to be, you know, just some international conference. It's crucially the representatives from Somaliland, from Puntland, from Galmudug, from Mogadishu, from other regions of Somalia. Because actually it's in the regions where we're seeing, one might call it, the first sort of shoots of regained stability. And it's very important the international community supports those. It also needs to be a process that engages countries of the regions, which is why we're delighted that the prime ministers and heads of state of the regional countries, from Djibouti, from Ethiopia, from Kenya, from Uganda, were all going to be at the London conference. Because Somalia has exported its difficulties and its problems for far too long. I think there are 500,000 refugees in Kenyan refugee camps today. 2.5 million Somalis displaced in the country and throughout the region. The piracy issue, which we all know, which is a symptom of Somalia's instability, impacts across many countries in the world, and certainly through the shipping lanes in the region. So, yes, it must be a process owned by Somalis. They will be present and engaging directly in the conference in London, but they can't do it on their own, given the disastrous situation that Somalia finds itself in. And we believe we can help them take the next step and move forward to a much better future.
You're talking about bringing leaders together from within Somalia. What about Al-Shabaab itself? Is there any possibility that this movement, which, as you say, has been in control for so long, any way that it can be persuaded to lay down its weapons and join the negotiating table?
Well, I think that's the crucial phrase, lay down its weapons. We and many others have said all along that the way forward in Somalia is to the ending of the civil war. Those who are committed to the root of violence can't have a place in the future of this country. And that is what we're hoping to hear from Al-Shabaab. At the moment, that is not the case. We still see terrorism being exported from Somalia. We still see extremists operating in Somalia in regions, parts of the country controlled by Al-Shabaab. So there is a prerequisite for those who want to see Somalia entering into a better future, which is laying down arms. Security situation is a key aspect of it. One thing we hope to see in the conference in London is greater support for the African forces, the AMISOM forces, who are trying to stabilise the country. And that is a necessary part of the complex solution to Somalia's problems. But clearly that's not one of the aims in the longer term, is that there is no longer need for any sort of foreign peacekeeping force from the outside in the region, that Somalis can look after their own security. But that does require Al-Shabaab to lay down their arms first.
Interestingly, despite the ongoing conflict, some sectors of the economy, particularly in places that you mentioned, seem to be doing quite well, particularly the livestock trade, I understand. How do you encourage, though, investment in an area which is so much renowned for its piracy, its lawlessness?
Well, stability is clearly the first step. Without that, stability and security, without that, investors aren't going to come in to the country. And a sense for them that there is a future, that this isn't a sort of permanent state, a state of chaos. Another area which we and other countries are looking at is the creation of some form of joint financial management board, which will work closely with Somalis and with functioning Somali authorities to find ways to improve both the collection of revenues and the use of revenues within Somalia itself, which will give the state itself greater leverage as it works with investors, it works with traders, etc. For example, Somalia has active ports which are trading, but far too large proportion of the revenues of those ports is being diverted by corruption, by bad governance, into local kingpins who are controlling certain aspects of the trade. Well, part of the work of the Financial Management Board may well be to improve that collection of revenues. And then once you've got the money, well, how do you use it? Again, Somalia needs to work from the bottom up. Needs to create bureaucracies, create mechanisms by which Somalis themselves can feel confident when they are giving money to the state that money will be properly used and can be reinvested back into their own services. It's that confidence building, that sort of confidence building process, really quite nuts and bolts stuff, which we think will be really important to demonstrating to investors that Somalia does have a future and that they should be returning.
You mentioned the spectre of famine, which still hangs over a large portion of the population. How serious is that humanitarian crisis today?
It remains massive. Estimates are that between 50 and 100,000 Somalis died since famine was declared last year. We're no longer officially in a state of famine, but 250,000 Somalis remain at risk, refugees across the country and beyond the country. It remains a massive task.
And yet it receives remarkably little attention, doesn't it, in the international media?
Well, it does. I mean, sometimes, there's this sort of horrible phrase of sort of development or aid fatigue. It so happens that Britain was the most generous country last year into responding to the famine. I think the British public and taxpayer raised around £60 million for Somalia on top of the £70 million or so per year that the British government is providing for the country, which shows that it hasn't gone away completely, that shows that people do respond to the real problems, real needs, especially the terrible pictures out of the refugee camps in Kenya that we've seen. But I think people also need to know, when they're giving to support others, that somehow their money will be used properly, will be used well, that it's not just going to be lost in a state of chaos. And so it's incredibly important for tackling the famine and tackling the situation that creates the famine, that this coherent international response does, in fact, manage to gel in London and looking forward. Ultimately, famine is not a consequence solely of vagaries of the weather. It's a consequence of the dramatic political instability, of the war, of the terrorism, of the impossibility for Somalis to reconstruct their lives in a stable way, their economy, their farming. And our hope is that by tackling the root causes, we can also tackle this perennial problem in the region of a famine that has affected generations of children.
You're the ambassador here to the Holy See. You had a British government delegation here in the Vatican just a few days ago seeking support for this conference. And yet there is a tiny, minute Christian Catholic presence in Somalia. What can the Holy See, what can you do here?
No, it's true. I think the last official representative was the Bishop of Mogadishu, who was killed in 1989. There is a bishop in Djibouti who is working with aid agencies, both in Djibouti and on the other side of the country in the refugee camps in Kenya. But of course, the Holy See has real concern for situations of humanitarian disaster, understand very well that it's not just a Somali issue, it's a much bigger issue across the region. And we were very struck that in his address to diplomats on the 9th of January, the Pope made a specific appeal to the international community to try to find a solution to the crisis in Somalia. So our hope is that we can find ways of working, particularly through the Catholic Development Aid Agencies. Our Development Minister, Alan Duncan, met Michel Roy, the Director General of Caritas Internationalis, was able to talk through the problem with him. We also talked through some of the issues with Cardinal Turkson, Justice and Peace. And although there isn't a huge Catholic or Christian presence there, I think mobilising the Christian voice and the Christian aid agencies, who are already very active on the ground, particularly in the camps outside, is an area where we can definitely work together.